93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was a frustrating day out for the Blues last time out as they were battered by the COD Army.
Lovely cross, Balfe batted in! And there, Callum Connolly, first side of goal for either side. It virtually just hit him in the forehead and trickled over the line.
I never want to hear from Captain Pugwash ever again in my life. A poor display from Pompey, who managed just one shot on target the entire game. And even that one could be deemed as clutching at straws a little bit. Sean Raggett, with a header, cleared 2 yards in front of the goal line, the closest the Blues came to scoring. Kenny's side came away empty-handed from Highbury at the weekend, slumping to only their second defeat of the year, which has led some to believe that promotion is nothing but an unachievable target this season. Tonight we've got all of the reaction from that game, as well as a look ahead to the next one, and we'd like you to get in touch between now and 7 with all of your thoughts too. Do we miss the attacking presence of Andy Cannon behind the striker? Are Pompey beginning to lack creativity going forward? And are you confident still that automatic promotion can be won by the end of the campaign? Head over to our website expressfm.com to find all the methods required to get involved with the conversation. Be sure to have your voices heard here on the perfect platform to do so. A very warm welcome this evening, wherever you are, to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of the Monday Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. With plenty to see and do around Portsmouth, why not travel by bus? They have great deals for families too. Go to stagecoach.co.uk to find out more information. We've got so much to get through here on the show this evening. The Blues are still going strong in three different competitions as we approach March. But is that necessarily a good thing? Tonight we want you back home to let us know if you think Pompey's progression to the EFL Trophy Final and the fifth round of the FA Cup have acted as distractions to the target of promotion. Or are you of the belief that winning games should really help breed confidence no matter what? We'd also like you to get in touch with your post-match thoughts and reflections from Saturday's defeat to Fleetwood. Do we miss having Andy Cannon at the heart of the attack? Is it too early to be worried about losing out on the automatics? You have between now and 7 to get involved, and you can do just that by either texting the word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400, emailing Pompey at expressfm.com, or tagging at expressfm within your tweets. But before we dive any deeper into any of that, it's time to take a step back and hear just how the events of the weekend's game unfolded here on Pompey Live. Kenny Jackett took his side to Highbury Stadium on the Far Coast for the second time already this year, in the hope of building on victories over Shrewsbury and Exeter. However, it wasn't to be a walk in the park for Pompey, whose opponents Fleetwood had themselves won 4 on the bounce, gone 7 unbeaten, and accumulated enough points to start knocking on the door of the playoffs themselves. A win for the COD Army would see them into the top 6 with games in hand. Commentary from a cold and windy Lancashire come via Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
You listen to managers and they will tell you that there's no easy places to go in any league. There's no easy games. But when you turn up and the Fylde Coast on a freezing cold day with the wind whipping through the stadium against the side who are battling for the playoffs having won 4 straight, it would be pretty accurate to describe this one as a tough place for Portsmouth to come and try and get 3 points this afternoon. But that is the target, that is the aim, and a win for Pompey, you feel, would be a hugely significant blow both to them and Fleetwood as the League One promotion race starts to head towards its climax with only a dozen or so games remaining. Andrew, another chance to cross for Fleetwood. Lovely cross, Balfe batted in. Alex Bass can only palm the cross half
line of goal for either side. Virgil just hit him in the forehead and trickled over the line into the net. It's Fleetwood 1, Portsmouth 0.
Fleetwood again. Hawkins and Naylor can't keep hold of it though, and the giant figure of Tutu comes forward. Mackay outside the area. There's all kinds of space in the box. It's a great chance for Fleetwood, and it's a terrible miss from Wes Burns. Bass came down to close the angle, but Burns got it beyond Bass, wide of the post. A huge let off for Portsmouth. It's 1-0 to Fleetwood. Whistle blows. Here it comes. Curtis whips it deep towards the far post. It's hit the bar and bounced away. Deceived the goalkeeper. And Curtis not far away from scoring. Curtis down the left-hand side. Gets in behind his man. Curtis across the face of goal. Harness arriving. Williams, can he get the shot away? Left-footed, it's blocked. Fleetwood bodies flooded back. McCrory in the penalty area looking for Curtis. Curtis across goal, and it's going to go wide. And Portsmouth causing a problem at last for Fleetwood. Deep towards the far post. Raggett headed back across goal. Headed off the line. Closest Portsmouth have come. Referee looks at his whistle. That's it. Portsmouth have been beaten here at Fleetwood. They've gone down by a goal to nil. It's been a hugely frustrating afternoon for them.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of the Blues' 1-0 defeat away to Fleetwood Town on Saturday afternoon. We'll be hearing from the manager, Kenny Jackett, later on in the show. Sam Stone joins me in the studio for tonight's episode. Sam, a very good evening. Welcome back. Great to see you again.
Good evening, mate. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. A bit tired from Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
A little bit gutted still, but we go again, as we say.
Yeah, you'd like to think so.
Yeah. Back to Saturday, then, a frustrating game for Pompey, who really just couldn't force a way through.
Yeah, it was a combination of things, really. You know, Harrison getting injured in the, was it the warm-up, replaced by Hawkins. You know, for me, that wouldn't have been the change to make. Obviously, I would have liked to see McGeehan go into number 10 and push Marcus up front. I think Mark was far more effective up front, and McGeehan's more of that kind of Andy Cannon type player to play at number 10. But obviously losing Ellis Harrison and Andy Cannon not being fit again, playing against a good side as well. I mean, they've won 4 on the bounce. They've got a very tough game tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how they shape up against Sunderland, because then we'll be able to see how good actually Fleetwood are. But
yeah,
it seemed like they thoroughly deserved the win. Obviously Pompey's one chance was it didn't really look like a chance, but I watched the highlights, and if that's the only chance we had, we really didn't deserve much from the game.
No. And also here this evening, Sam Macy. Pleasure to have you back in, Sam. What do you pinpoint that defeat down to?
I think a bit of inconsistency in the team selection. Obviously, we don't have a ready-made number 10 when Andy Cannon goes out of the squad. Putting Marcus back in there, we saw first half of the season, doesn't work. I would have liked to see him back up front, like Sam said, and put McGeehan in the hole, or even Ben Close, and maybe drop a little bit deeper. But it was just a poor performance, but we'll go again tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, we've got a bit of a Sam fest going on in here tonight. This could get confusing, lads, but two very distinctive voices. I'm sure we'll be able to tell it apart. Two or three players missing from Saturday. Obviously, Bryn Morris missing from the game. He's likely to be returning back to action very soon. We don't really have a time frame on that, but hopefully seeing him back in the lineup soon enough. But one of the players out at the weekend, Sam Stone, Andy Cannon, a player who recently, it could be argued, we haven't really missed him too much in terms of going forward. We're still scoring goals, still seeing out games and winning them too. But could you argue that maybe Saturday we could have really done with a player like him?
I think we could have done with a player like him in both of the defeats we've had against Coventry and Fleetwood, especially away from home. I'd probably argue that if Andy Cannon played both those games, we at least get a point out of both of them. I thought we were very unlucky at Coventry not to get a point. And if Andy Cannon plays in that game, I think it adds so much to the team. Obviously, Coventry had I'm trying to think of the name there, a guy this afternoon, Burton. He reminded me of Andy Cannon. He was playing in that kind of hole for them.
Scott Allen,
that's it. And he was creating chances for them, and that's what we lacked. He was kind of linking the midfield and the attack, and Andy Cannon does that so well. I actually think Andy Cannon's better at doing it than Alan was.
Yeah.
So if Andy Cannon plays in both those games, I honestly think we get a point out of both of them. Obviously, fitness has been an issue because he kind of gets injured quite a lot, and it might be just the way he plays. He's quite a high-impact player, bite energy, gets stuck in. But it's a shame because these injuries are kind of costing us, because he's so crucial. That Sunderland game, he was the best player on the pitch really, by a mile, and he completely dominated that game. And when we have him at home especially, he's unplayable at times.
it's really bad timing for Pompey, isn't it, Sam? Because, you know, Andy Cannon, as the other Sam mentions there, is the typical kind of player that the Blues have needed in that number 10 role. He's got that grip, the determination, the attacking mindset to go forward, but also track back and help defend as well. And it seemed as though in January, in the transfer window, we didn't need that number 10. We had one nailed on. As soon as the month ends, we go into February, he's injured, and we're missing that player again.
No, that's it. I think the business we did in January in the central midfield department was good. I think McGeehan can play deep lying or a bit further forward in the number 10, but Andy Cannon's been probably our standout player this season from where he was last season. I think sort of like shut out a little bit, written off by quite a lot of Pompey fans, and then was brought back into the team. First five games was probably one of our standout players and hasn't really dropped off since. But the inconsistency with the injuries is something which if he was going to get injured, I wish it was a month ago so we could have got someone in to replace him. But I think, to be honest with you, the sooner he's back the better. I don't think it's a horrendous injury anyway, it's only a few weeks, but he just links the play so well. Like, if he plays up front with Ellis Harrison, he works so well off of him, and then he's the perfect box to box number 10 to have in our squad. And I think the sooner we get him back the better, because we can kick on when we have him, and then the results will pick up again. I think
I do kind of think with Andy Cannon as well, Jacket mentioned in the interview, I can see him maybe protecting him a little bit. Obviously, these games we've got coming up, with the ones we've played, you kind of, if he played him and he got injured even more and he was out for even longer, that proves that's even more costly for the side. We've got some very winnable games coming up, and maybe he's wrapping him in cotton wool. I kind of hope he is anyway. I hope it's nothing too serious, because he is so influential. But obviously, I don't really think what you mentioned about the transfer window. If a number 10 got injured, I do think McGeehan's a great option in there, because he's quite versatile in midfields and he can fill in that hole. And he's proved he's physically in there, he wins headers, and he does see the forward pass as well. So he is a good option to have in the number 10 role.
Is it fair to say as well, and I think we stand with the whole of the fan base here, that John Marquis, not a number 10?
Yeah, I do like...
Not at his fault?
Yeah, no,
it's just wasting him up.
Yeah, I am struggling to see what Jackets... He might see something in there that we all don't see. But I John Marquis has looked a much better player when he's nearer the goal and when he's in between the 18-yard box, because he's a good finisher, and we've seen that. He gets himself in good positions. That goal against Exeter on Tuesday night was a good header. He set up the first goal as well with a clever bit of play. He's clever in around the box, and he's a nuisance. That's what he's good at. I don't really think he's a playmaker. He gets himself stuck in, but I don't really think he's got the same attributes as Cannon or McGeehan, kind of in the passing department, going forward, seeing... the runs in behind, picking passes, and that's what you kind of want a number 10 position.
Yeah. I think with that, the only thing which I can see from Jackett's point of view is that when he plays up front on his own, he does look isolated quite a lot of the time. Maybe if you drop him back, you can then involve him in the game and he'll have more of the ball and not have to feed off scraps so much. And then when you've got Ellis Harrison playing up front, you need someone sort of, or you have everyone to play off of him, because he holds the ball up so well. Maybe that's the thinking behind it, to try and get Marquis more involved in the game and then in and around the box where he's best, and that's the only thing in which I can see. But yeah, every time I've seen him, it doesn't
work. The other
work.
Issue is as well is that you can't really have a formation. We're playing 4-2-3-1. There's no real way to fit in Cannon, Marquis and Harrison, and for me they've been three in the new year anyway, they've been three of our form players, and there is kind of no way, unless you're playing Cannon mid-fit like centre mid, but then you're dropping one of McGeehan and Naylor, it's kind of, it'd be too, it would affect the rest of the team too much to try and get them three in. If there was a way, obviously switch the formation up, there probably would be a way.
I think as you switch a formation, it kind of, you're back to square one.
We play 4-2-3-1 for the last 5 years under both, under Paul Cook and under.
Tried and tested, isn't it? We've had so much success with it.
Yeah. Well, I remember last season there was a point where fans were screaming out for 4-4-2. I think it was played once or twice. I think the first game it worked. We won two goals or 3-0. The next game it didn't work, and suddenly the shouts from the stand went, no, go back.
Don't get me wrong, 4-4-2 would be a good option, maybe to see it change up every now and then depending on who we're playing, if you're playing a certain side. But like, because I honestly think Harrison and Marquis do work well together, and they complement each other in a way. Harrison does the dirty work, Marquis could kind of like pick up the scraps, if you like. So it could work, but then obviously that could be detrimental to the midfield, because you're losing that kind of number 10. And in Cannon's case, he does two jobs.
You're losing legs, aren't you?
Yeah, he's defensively brilliant and he's offensively very good as well. So it's that balancing act, what you actually want. I think 4-4-2 is a good option, maybe if you're losing a game.
Yeah, Jason, that's what I was going to say.
From the outset, I think I can't see him changing the formation at the moment. So
Ellis Harrison, as well, another player who you could argue massively missed at the weekend, Sam. Supposedly he was in the lineup ready to play the game. He went out for
the warm-up. They tweeted out, didn't they? They tweeted out at 2 o'clock.
The team sheet came out and we had him in the lineup and we were talking and we were, you know, looking forward to seeing him back in the team. Well, not that he had that much time out, let's be honest, but yeah, in the warm up he went back down the tunnel and I think he told the gaffer that, you know, that was it. I don't, you know, can't play today's game. Maybe they saw something we didn't. But what do you make of that one? Is that one of those where you actually praise the staff and the player for actually not wanting to risk it or aggravate it any further?
Yeah.
Or do you think
yeah,
that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think if
can't really be anything.
No, he's been brilliant so far this season for us. Like, if you look at when we started the season, he didn't really get that many first team opportunities with Marquis obviously starting, who we brought in for a lot of money. He's played his way back into the team and he's been one of our standout players this season. I think he is the perfect man to play up front in a lone formation and a lone striker role in the formation we play. I think he holds the ball up well, he's quick, he's good in the air, he's a good finisher, and yeah, he's been one of the standout players, and it's I'd rather have him out for that game and bring in Hawkins for that one game or move Marquis up front if it means we have him consistently for the rest of the season, because he's too big of a loss in the long term than just one or two games. I think I'd rather have him play consistently till the end of the season, maybe missing one or two games here and there, than just being out completely because he aggravates an injury.
As always, we want to hear from you back home, Pompey fans. We'd like your reaction from the weekend's game, score predictions ahead of the home fixture against MK Dons, and any thoughts and questions you'd like to put into the panel. Perhaps you have an answer to one of the questions we're posing this evening. Have Pompey missed Andy Cannon in that number 10 role? Would getting knocked out of the Cups earlier in the season have worked in our favour in the bid for League One promotion? And do you still have confidence in the Blues going up this season? 81400 is the number to text, starting each message with the word Express. You can email us pompey@expressfm.com, or if you'd prefer to get involved on Twitter, then @expressfm is where to find us. After the break, we'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of the manager Kenny Jackett following Saturday's 1-0 defeat at Highbury Stadium. So join us again for even more Pompey reaction, debate and discussion in just a few moments' time here on the only radio station from a great waterfront city. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the second part of this evening's instalment of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. Download the app today to find your nearest stop, updated timetables and the latest prices on fares across the city as well. Let's get to some of the social media reaction coming into us now. On the text, we have one in from Mark. He says, I saw the ex-Luton manager Nathan Jones on TV on Saturday saying that Luton got to a semi-final of the trophy and missed out on promotion, so the next season they sacked off the trophy and went up as champions in League Two. Pompey are playing so many games, meaning automatic promotion is gone now, says Mark on the text. And Carol in Hailing Island says, Pompey players are looking very tired. Are the number of games played by Pompey beginning to take its toll on the players? Carol in Hailing Island. 2 points there, relatively similar in context, Sam, and really both hinting that the amount of games the Blues are playing this season is having a bit of a hindrance on promotion to the Championship. Where do you kind of stand a bit with this one? It's an age-old argument.
For me, this, if you look at 2020, we've won every single game and lost two games or something like that. So we've actually been in very good form in 2020. So I don't think it's hindering us at the moment. I mean, we've lost two games. One of them on Saturday where it just seemed no one was at it. Fleetwood just in good form. They turned up. Sometimes you get games like that. I remember in League 2 we were in a really good run of form. We lost 3-0 to Stevenage away, so it's just one of those games that happens. So, but yeah, he maybe could have changed it up against Exeter a little bit. I mean, they made 10 changes. Obviously you don't see a team sheet until both team sheets are out, but he maybe could have made a few more changes there. But we've certainly got the squad depth to have beaten a second string Exeter side. I may well say Exeter were phenomenal that night. I thought they were a very good side. I'd probably answer this question maybe at the end of the season, because I don't feel it's hindering us as now, because like last season we went on that really good run towards the end of the season after being in all these competitions. We won, it was a club record 8 in a row or something like that.
Nine in a row
before at the end of the season. So I'd probably come back to that question when we actually know what's going on, because at the moment, you know, the EFL Trophy brings in a bit of money. Obviously, not as much money as getting promoted to the Championship, but we're still in a great chance of getting promoted to the Championship as well. So you've got these two cup competitions, and we're only, what is it, 7 points off the automatics with two games in hand. Before, when we play on Friday night, after the game on Friday night, we could be third.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't necessarily think it's a massive hindrance at the moment, but potentially could be.
Mentions a very good point there in the fact that only two games we've lost so far in 2020 out of, I think, 14 matches played so far. You know, drawn the other one, won the other 11, 12 of those. Actually, this year so far, you know, we've played, what, two or three FA Cup games, Fleetwood, Barnsley as well. We've got Arsenal to come. We've had Walsall, we've had Scunthorpe, an extra in the EFL Trophy. And yet still, we're not losing in too many games. OK, Coventry and Fleetwood have come quite recently, Sam. But on the grand scheme of things, are these Cup games having an effect on the Blues? Do you think fatigue is coming into play a little bit?
Like Sam said, it's too early to say, but I think the one thing which I would say about it, it's not like in the FA Cup we've had replays and had endless amounts of Tuesday games up to this point. I know we've got a lot. I don't think we've got a Tuesday off until March, so end of March, is it? I think, for me, I don't think you can answer the question yet fully, because we have been so good and we've not... It's not like the first game in the Leasing Trophy, which we played a full-strength team, was a semi-final. So I think the point's a little bit redundant that because we've got so far in these competitions, we could potentially not go up, and ruling it out this early is ridiculous. I think you look at the league table, you look at our recent form, to rule out automatic promotion at this stage is, I don't know what the thinking behind it is. It doesn't make any logical sense in my mind, because we have been so strong. If you lose two games this season and go win nine in a row, it's there's ruling out automatic promotion at this stage is stupid in my opinion.
It's a great stat you mentioned there. Well, it's a great point you mentioned there about, you know, ruling out automatic promotion at this stage. Around about this stage of the season 3 years ago, 2016-17 campaign in League Two, the season we won it, the 10th of February, okay, that was, okay, 2 weeks ago, we played 28 games in League Two, sorry. We were 18 points behind leaders Doncaster. We were sat in 7th place. Okay, there's, what, two or three games separating at that point to this point we sit ourselves in now. But still, the points difference between Pompey in 7th and Doncaster in 1st in that season, and the fact that we managed to overcome that in such dramatic circumstances, and you look at the league table now, there is not even half a difference.
For me, there's, I'd say, from 7th where we are up until 1st,
it's open.
Those 7 teams get promoted. I think Ipswich, they're a little bit, they've played a few more games and they're a point behind us. I think they're a little bit too far off now, but... Well, as you said, anyone, it can happen, but because there's so many teams going for promotion, it is, for me, out of those top 7 teams, literally any one of them could get promoted automatically. So
it's frustrating that, okay, maybe we can't capitalise on the fact that there is no, you know, real runaway of this, you know, of this League One campaign, but 7 points behind the leaders with a game in hand as well.
And also, this has to be noted, Coventry and Rotherham are playing each other tomorrow, so one of them, if not both, will drop points. Sunderland and Fleetwood are playing each other tomorrow, so one of them, if not both of them, will drop points. Sunderland and Coventry are playing each other on Sunday, so we could actually be, I'm just saying this, but if Coventry, for example, lost both these games, we could be a point behind Coventry by the time they play on Sunday. So this is still all there to the taking. Obviously the games we've lost, if we won the Coventry and won the Fleetwood, we'd be in a much better position, but I don't understand how people can be like, oh, promotion's off. I genuinely do not get it.
You're not going to win every game, and you're not going to play your best every game. That's football at the end of the day. There's no one in this league which has taken the initiative and gone on a good run. I think if you look at it, like Sam said, any 2 of 7 will get automatic promotion, and we've just got to be one of those. And we've got a lot of the teams in and around us in the next few weeks, so ruling it out is ludicrous, and there's no reason to do it at this stage whatsoever.
I mean, there are so many teams battling for the top two and indeed the playoffs. You know, you mentioned there, 7 or 8 teams still competing for
Ipswich,
the top two.
Oxford, Gillingham, a phenomenal run.
There's so many teams playing for that, but that also means that I think you look at every kind of match day now, every Tuesday, you know, match day we've got, every Saturday, you look at all the fixtures, and you can guarantee that at least one or two of those games being played will be between two of the top eight.
And one thing I must say is,
People are going to drop points.
Yeah, we've got to play a lot of the bottom half at home.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel this little run we've got coming up of home games, MK Dons,
six out of
Rochdale,
7.
Accrington, Blackpool to come as well, soon at home, I think.
Bristol Rovers they've won once under their new manager.
Yeah, so all of these games at home, I honestly think we've got to win every single one at home. and then the away form's just got to come, because if the away form doesn't come, we've still got to play Ipswich, Oxford away, Peterborough away. They're all massive, Rotherham away as well.
Yeah,
they're all massive games, but we need to. But if we can get some form at home, which we have had, we've won 14 out of 15 games at home in a row. The last time we didn't win at home was Oxford at home,
which we should have probably won anyway.
Which we probably should have won.
5 out of the next 6 league games, lads, are at home. And you mentioned the opposition in those games as well. Teams we, in theory, on paper, should be beating. Mm. Hopefully we can keep that unbeaten run on home turf going into the end of the season. A good chance for Pompey to gain those points, as you say, on the top two teams in the league. Some texts and tweets and emails coming in regards to the trophy competitions. Are they playing a hindrance on Pompey's target of promotion? We have a text in here from John in Gosport. Our form is nothing to do with the Cups. It's just that we're one of a group of slightly better than average teams fighting out for a promotion this season. We've got a decent squad, but Kenny hasn't found that magic combination that would get the team purring. That's got John in Gosport. Chris in Bergamo in Italy says, actually, I don't think the Cup competitions are a distraction. I'm far more worried about our performances against Coventry and Fleetwood, where I saw that if we continue playing away from home like that, we are in serious danger of not making it into promotion. Just watching what Coventry and Rotherham are doing away from home, and we are not what we are not, makes me doubt our capability to step up unless something changes away from home, and very fast as well. Oh, and yes, I am Corona here, Northern Italy. Very interesting times here. Had no football games to be had, and something to mention. Serie A have had a lot of their games called off recently due to the coronavirus. Stay safe, Chris. Looking forward to hearing you again tomorrow night with your predictions ahead of a game at home to MK Dons. So a few people there, rather contrasting opinions on the trophy and the cup fixtures as well. Graham Wilkins, some emails. Hi gents, I emailed after Saturday's poor performance having a go at the anti-Kenny Jacket fans, but it does annoy me how fickle fans can be, said Graham on the emails. When the Blues were winning, everything was all rosy. Lose one game and the knives are out. Anyway, that's my views. As for your question regarding being in three competitions, I still think this is good, as it keeps momentum going and it keeps the fans going as well. Yes, we will probably play 60 plus games this season, but I still believe we have a better chance of promotion this year, as our squad is a lot stronger and having 8 out of the next 10 games at home is great. I too would love to see Cannon back plus Harrison, which would benefit the Blues no end. Going for a 3-1 win tomorrow. And by the way, I managed to get my seat for the Arsenal game a week today. Well done, Graham. I'm looking forward to seeing you there as well. Thank you for your prediction and your thoughts as well. And a great point as well that Graham mentions there is that 8 out of the next 10 games are home for Pompey. He doesn't think that these competitions are, you know, getting in the way of that target of promotion. You look at last season, we got to the final of the EFL Trophy. We had quite a decent cup run as well, including a replay too. And yet still we managed to accumulate 88 points, narrowly missing out on the automatic promotion places. So if anything, that also goes a long way in proving that maybe, Sam, this doesn't really have too much of a bearing.
No, it doesn't. I think both us and Sunderland got to the final of the Leeson Trophy last season. They finished 5th, we finished 6th, or whatever it was.
Fourth and fifth,
that's it. I don't know. I think, like we've said already, it's gonna, at the end of the season, if you ask the question, then we could probably answer it a bit better. But I don't think it's played any real impact so far this season. I think people players going away on international duty hasn't helped us, if you want to make that argument. That you could throw that in there. We've only just played Fleetwood for the first time this season. We were meant to play them in November. There's loads of things which can factor into it, but I think that's something which people just love to blame, isn't it? The cups, fixtures, if there's anything, just have breaks, a bigger break over Christmas like the Premier League clubs do.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the fixtures that have been called off for Pompey this season, you look at the reasons why as well. The first one, Rotherham at home, that was postponed due to the Victorious Festival being played on the same weekend. The Southend home game postponed due to international call-ups. Bury away, of course, they're expelled from the Football League. That couldn't be played. Fleetwood at home, like you mentioned there, Sam, postponed due to Joe Barton and his Fleetwood team having international call-ups. They called off that game. That wasn't even Pompey's decision. Doncaster at home due to be FA Cup progression as well. Okay, MK Dons at home originally on the 25th of January due to be FA Cup. So, yeah, a lot of games to play and a lot of ground to make up, but maybe that could also work into Pompey's favour. When you look at the table, you look at what needs to be done, it's now in our hands to try and get that job done.
Yeah, and as well, I know it sounds cliche, but everyone's got to play 46. How many games at
44 this season.
44 yeah. games. You know, and it's what Paul Cook used to say, judge a team after that many games, you know, and that's that's when you find out the best best team. Pompey in that league, we in that that season we were top of the league for
30 minutes.
30 minutes at the top at the end of the season. So you should judge a team after that many games. It's I am a little bit sceptical. I hope it doesn't affect them, and I do think the squad depth's a little bit bigger than it was last year, and definitely compared to the first season we were back in League One. So hoping the squad depth will become that will be a positive thing come the end of the season, because the Sunderland playoff game last year, all the players are out on their legs. You could see that, but I feel that there's enough rotation going on in the wide areas up front, midfield. I feel there's enough rotation, and there's competition every single spot, really.
If you see us over the line.
Yeah, there's competition in goal, in defence, centre-half, there's definitely competition. Left-back, right-back, you've got Lee Brown, Houndstruck coming back, McCrory right-back to push Bolton.
It's another 1-11, effectively. Yeah. If we made 11 changes, that would be a team which have finished top half of League One anyway.
So I honestly think that the squad depth is what people need to take into consideration. This season is that we didn't have it last year. We really didn't have it. When Jack Watmore got injured at back, we literally had no cover at centre half. So it's little things like that, especially out wide when Curtis and Lowe dropped form. We really didn't have anything to replace them properly, did we? And we didn't have any sort of options up front. We just had Hawkins.
Sam, thank you very much. Let's take a couple of minutes now to hear from a gaffer, Kenny Jackett, who expressed his thoughts on the game at the weekend on the touchline with our colleague Andy Moon from Radio Solent.
Kenny, obviously frustrating for your side. How do you assess that afternoon?
I don't think we started particularly well, although we were sort of under pressure because obviously the wind was going down that way. I still felt we was like a yard short, didn't defend with our normal sharpness, and by half time anyway, obviously they've got the goal, but I thought they deserved their one goal lead, and we didn't do enough in the first half. Second half anyway, I was still confident, and going down with quite a very strong wind today that's played its part, I was expecting us to come back and get back into the game. For all of our huff and puff and the fact that the game was flowing sort of one way, we couldn't then find the moments or the clear-cut chances that were going to get us back in the game. Probably the closest we had was Sean Raggett's header, which the time we did beat the keeper is a header off the line. Ronan had a moment or two in terms of balls across the box, but ultimately anyway couldn't find the combinations up front that could get us the goals.
Was it frustrating watching on from the touchline, because it was a difficult spectacle to watch given the conditions?
Yeah, very much so, and it was always going to be the case, but you have to adapt and come through and win the game, and that's the case. And as I said, in terms of the two halves, if you like, you almost have to have a bit of a game plan in both. I didn't think we necessarily executed either very well. It was a close game, and obviously it's dictated by the conditions, but you're coming up here, we've been up here many times now in the last few years, and come up here in the FA Cup, what it's likely to be at this time of year, and being able to adapt and come up with the right answer is important.
What happened with Ellis Harrison before the game?
Yeah, he trained yesterday and thought he was 100%, but in the warm-up today has pulled out and still felt his dead leg.
So nothing too serious, but just the same?
No, we don't think so, and we're obviously disappointed, but it left us with sort of Hawkins 9 and Marquis 10, which is exactly where we left off on Tuesday night anyway. So in terms of being able to adjust or know our roles, I don't think we can necessarily use that as an excuse.
Obviously, the waveform had picked up at the start of the year, but based on a performance like today, what things do you need to see more of from your team away from home going
forward?
Yeah,
as I said, I didn't think in the first half we defended without, or could get to the ball sharp enough. We weren't first to the ball first half, and we looked a little bit short. Some of our decision making wasn't quite right. We didn't quite look our normal selves. But similarly, 1-0 down at half time, I still felt with a strong wind, obviously, we could have a big second half. And despite being on top, and the ball sort of going down one way, we couldn't find the moments or the combinations or the 1v1 situations that could help us get the goals.
And you tried harness at 10 just perhaps today, that you just couldn't find that combination you're looking for going forward.
No, and just to some degree we've missed Andy Cannon, sort of somebody running with a ball, and he's got into the box once or twice and looking for that that little bit of magic that he's got, Marcus, in terms of being able to do that, and then, you know, finish then the last 10 minutes with Sean up and then a back three, and couldn't quite find the combinations in any of them to be able to obviously get us the moment that mattered to get us back in the game.
Yeah, just last, I guess you're hoping you'll have Cannon back before too long now then.
Yeah, of course, you know, we always want, you know, a fully fit squad, but similarly it's about adapting as well, and you know, we have enough to adapt.
The reaction there of Kenny Jackett following Saturday's defeat at Fleetwood. When we return from our next ad break, we're going to be moving the conversation forward to Pompey's next game. The Blues host MK Dons at Fratton Park tomorrow night. Whether you're listening on FM, DAB, digital radio or online tonight, be sure to get involved and let us know your score predictions ahead of that game. You can either text the word express to 81400 followed by your name and message, email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. You have just 20 minutes to get those into us. Stick around now for more of the discussion here on Express FM when the Monday Football Hour returns.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to the show, which is brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Plan your next journey now by either visiting stagecoach.co.uk or downloading the app from the Apple App or Google Play Store. The Blues are back in action again tomorrow. We're approaching a period of 6 days with three Pompey matches at Fratton Park. Thank God we have a great pitch and a fantastic group of ground staff. That flurry of games begins tomorrow night as MK Dons make the trip down from Buckinghamshire.
The games are coming thick and fast for Pompey. Now this week, the Blues return to Fratton Park as they prepare to play on home turf six times out of their next seven matches. Up next under the lights for the Blues is MK Dons.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Kenny Jackett's side remain unbeaten at PO4 in the league this season, and this week they welcome a relegation-threatened side who haven't won away from home since September 14th, when they beat Blackpool 3-0. Portsmouth had a day to forget when they last visited Lancashire. Nearby Fleetwood Town ran out 1-0 winners at Highbury Stadium on Saturday. Not yet have Pompey lost successive league games this season, so that's another stat which could keep the Fratton faithful hopeful ahead of this game.
Manager.
34-year-old Russell Martin is the Dons manager. The former Peterborough, Norwich and Rangers midfielder only retired in 2019 whilst playing in Milton Keynes. He succeeded Paul Tisdale at the helm in November following a poor start to the season for the recently promoted side, who finished third in League Two under the former Exeter's boss guidance in 2018-19.
One to watch.
Keep an eye out for midfielder Alex Gilby. The 25-year-old wears the number 8 shirt and was one of the players on the score sheet when these two sides last met back in December. He's contributed to 6 goals across the 27 matches for Milton Keynes this season and has played over 2,500 minutes of football across all competitions since the season started. Much like our own Tom Naylor, Alex Gilby is considered as a midfielder general for his side.
Top scorer.
25-year-old forward Rhys Healy is the side's leading scorer this season with 10 strikes to his name so far. Healy joined MK Dons in a permanent deal in the summer, having spent the previous season on loan from Cardiff City. He recently impressed those involved at the club with his 8 goals from 18 Tier 4 appearances. The striker was on the score sheet for Russell Martin's side when they pulled off a shock 3-1 win over the Blues in the reverse fixture at Stadium MK on the last match day of 2019.
Current form.
The MK Dons sit 18th place as things stand. Despite their position, they have gone their last 5 matches unbeaten, beaten Rochdale, Wickham and Bolton, and drawing away to Shrewsbury and Lincoln. The club, founded in 2004, have however only picked up 8 points on the road this season and have failed to win any of the last 13 matches on their travels. Only Bolton, Tranmere and Wimbledon claim worse records away from home. Can the Blues pick themselves up and bounce back from another away defeat? Join us for all the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with a preview of what the Blues will be going up against tomorrow night. MK Dons. Look at the performance going into this one then. Lads, Mason's just touched on it there in that bit of audio. Pompey's home form compared to the MK Dons away form in the league this season. And we all know how the Blues are getting on at Fratton Park. 10 wins, 5 draws and 0 defeats. 7 league victories in a row. MK Dons away from home. 15 games played. one win, five draws and nine losses. Safe to say, Sam, they're poor away from home. Very poor.
Yeah, and we've been a different side at home compared to the side we see away.
It's different bit, animal.
Yeah, I don't think I remember a Pompey side that's been so, like, such a contrast away from home compared to their home form. The home form is just formidable. We create chances, we look solid at the back, we look to dominate teams, we constantly look like we're putting pressure on them from the outset. It just, and then you look at our away form, it's just complete and utter opposite. And it's hard to put your finger on it. It might, but yeah, obviously we've won 13 out of our last 14 home games. They haven't won away in 5 months. It should be routine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it should be, but there's always that one game where you see a stat and it could end up winning. But I honestly think we'll have too much for him. I thought the Shrewsbury game's a good example of how we bounced back quickly after a big defeat against Coventry, because that was a big game, and we bounced back straight away, a reasonably comfortable 2-0 win in the end. And for me, MK Dons, when we did the game away, and they actually the end of the first half, we gifted them 2 goals.
Yeah.
But second half, they actually look quite good, and they've actually turned Stadium NK into a bit of a fortress recently. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what will keep them up. Cause they will stay up, but their away form is dire.
Yeah.
So Pompey need to capitalise.
Stats do not mean a lot when it comes to these kind of things. You know, the MK Dons could easily come to Fratton Park tomorrow. Touch wood, they don't. They could easily come to Fratton Park and take away a win. You know, their last 5 games in the league, 5 unbeaten. You know, 2 draws away from home, 3 wins at Stadium NK. So they're actually, you know, although the 18th, you know, they've only won 1 away from home, they're actually not in a bad run of form themselves. And as Sam mentioned there, in terms of a relegation threatened teams, you know, I think it's fair to say Bolton are down. I think it's fair to say that even Southend United are down as well. And Tranmere
is
going to take quite something for them to survive.
Sure. Not really playing for much.
So, yeah, although they're down there, they're lingering. Still a team Pompey should be beating. Not really got a lot to prove.
I think,
apart from, you know, finishing as strong as they can.
That's it. I think just about kicking on for next season for them, really, isn't it? But I think what I will say, if you look at the teams which they've played in their last 5 games when they've not lost, I think, is there anyone that good in there? Like, particularly, there's no one in and around us, I don't think. I think Shrewsbury, Burton and Lincoln are probably the best teams they've played out of that, and none of them are even, not even close to the playoffs. So you can only beat who's in front of you, but I don't know.
Yeah,
don't want to read into it too much, but we should have too much for them. Like,
well, a win over Rochdale, Wickham, drawing away to Shrewsbury and Lincoln, winning over Bolton as well. I mean, you could argue that, you know, Rochdale and Bolton, even for
Wickham's a good win.
Wickham's a great win, but then, you know,
they've not been that
Wickham's
good
away
this year,
form
though.
Hasn't been too good.
No,
so
but again, yeah.
You know, I said MK Dons at home. I thought after we decided to go, here you go, here's a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
After we had been in the game and dominating it up until 30 minutes, and then we just gave them the lead.
Weird chances in the second half of that game as well.
Second half, I actually thought they were half decent, and I'm trying to think the midfielder they had who just ran the game second half.
Alex Gilby.
Gilby.
Yeah.
Gilby ran the game second half. He looked a good player. But I might be wrong, but I can't see MK Dons turning up tomorrow and playing expansively and completely playing Pompey off the park. I can't see it happening.
No. We've got to put in a performance as well. I think we're going to be up for it tomorrow.
It's whether they can stay solid at the back.
So. It's quite a cliche as well, Sam, but you know, the Fratton Park crowd will come into play massively tomorrow night. Tuesday night under the lights, hoping to bounce back from Saturday. Okay, you know, you can't imagine it's going to be bouncing too much. You know, there's still going to be a lot of thoughts going back to Saturday and how we need to win to really boost the confidence going into the rest of the season. But nonetheless, it's a game under the lights. Pompey seem to do so well, again unbeaten at home all season in the league. So you imagine that the support also should help Pompey over the line.
Yeah, that's it. We do. I think we've probably got the best support in League One, in my opinion. But obviously a bit biased. But you know what I mean. I think. The only thing which worries me is if we play poorly and we're chasing the game, that we could, don't want anyone to get on the players' backs. That's the only thing which I would say about the crowd tomorrow night. But at home, we've been very, very good this season. We do look like a different team when we play at Fratton Park. And if we play how we normally do at home, we'll have no issues of getting past them tomorrow. And likewise, Rochdale on Friday, we've got to be looking to get 6 points at the minimum this week, because the two teams we're playing are very, very, very winnable games.
Yeah. Tom Cadman on the email says, in the subject of are there too many games, he says that Steve Cottrell's Bristol City won one League One and the EFL trophy with double in 2015, and a couple of years later Barnsley won the trophy and also the playoffs. If they can, then so can we, says Tom Cadman. Tom, that's a fantastic stat for bringing up there. Thank you for getting involved.
I think Bristol City got 100 points that season as well, didn't they?
Something like that, yeah. They absolutely ran away with it. Fantastic memory, Tom. Thank you for getting involved. Stephen Jerome says, hi, lads. I think it's fair to say wasn't the greatest performance from us up at Fleetwood on Saturday. We weren't really on our game, and I think the weather played a bit of a part too. The conditions were awful, and we just didn't adapt well to it. But it's the same for both teams, so really can't use that as an excuse. We just lacked a bit of creativity in certain areas, and I think we are missing Andy Callan at the moment. We just have to put this one behind us and focus on the next two games against MK Dons and Rochdale. They are two very winnable games at home. Hopefully we can win both and take some confidence going into the Arsenal match next Monday. Keep the faith, play up Pompey. Stephen on the emails. And Sam, going back a little bit back to Saturday, but a feat to Fleetwood, sorry. You look at it as well, that maybe Fleetwood, you know, Joe Barton set a side out just better than Pompey did. You know, they managed the game well. They certainly wound us up a lot of the times.
Managed the game well.
Yeah. It frustrated us. Managed the game. They won. Who cares? Move on.
They managed the game. They managed the conditions. Pompey didn't turn up. And they are good at home. So I think that's the three things people need to kind of look into.
Yeah.
One point I do want to make about Saturday is that, you know, people who look at the stats, you've got the XG tables, and Pompey and Sunderland are actually at the top of it now. Well, I think Sunderland have just overtaken Pompey, but Pompey have been top of it for the majority of the season. I'd like to make a point that it's to do with the quality of chance, the amount of chances that are created in the 90 minutes, and Pompey are often creating a lot of chances but not necessarily good quality ones. Obviously, yeah. At Fleetwood we potentially didn't create as many chances as we usually do, but there weren't any good quality chances. I mean, if Sean Raggett's one was the main chance, that's not a quality chance. It's not a good opportunity to score a goal. Coventry are actually near the bottom of the XG table, but they're obviously creating good quality chances off, like, not that regularly, but when they do create a chance, it's a real goal scoring opportunity. So, you know, Pompey do create a lot of chances, but they're not necessarily ones that are easy to score.
No.
You know, so at home it's a different kettle of fish. We do create a lot of chances that some of them are gilt-edged that we should be scoring.
Yeah.
But away from home, we are really struggling just to make those quality chances. Maybe creating chances, but they're not ones that are clear cut.
Yeah.
And that is a issue that maybe what is happening away from home. We're just struggling to make those really clear cut chances.
Yeah. Darren on Twitter has got involved as well. He says, I expect Pompey to win the next two games. 6 points before Saturday will put us at least in the top four. We drop points this week at home, then maybe we bring Arsenal and say, look, just go through, we need a rest. But I think 2-1 and 2-0 wins against MK and Rochdale, says Darren on Twitter. And three players tomorrow night who we expect to turn up for Milton Keynes, whether you think it will be a walk in the park for Pompey or not. Three players who will turn up with a point to prove and certainly testing the Blues' defence will be Alex Gilby, we mentioned, running for midfield, sort of like a general for Milton Keynes. Rhys Healy as well scored against Pompey back in the 3-1 defeat at Stadium MK. And also Joe Mason as well, another former Pompey player. Was a little bit quiet on that day, but nonetheless a former Blues player who you look out for. You look out for those three dangerous players, Sam. And if you look to kind of keep them quiet, it should be easy for Pompey.
No, that's it. I think it's quite evident to see who their danger man is. Rhys Healy's the man who scored a lot of the goals. I know he scored the goal against Bolton on Saturday. So keep him quiet, and then you keep them quiet. I think you got to win the midfield battle. I think we didn't really do that at MK Dons, but I think McGeehan in that midfield, again, as opposed to Ben Close, I think he adds a bit more grit and determination, and that's just in my opinion. And I think we'll be fine. Just got to keep Gilby quiet. Naylor, probably man mark him, try and get him out of the game.
Yeah.
And then Raggett and Burgess, keep Rhys Healy quiet. I don't think Joe Mason's particularly great. I don't think he was particularly good when we played him, played them in January, and he wasn't very good when we had him. So I think you keep Healy and Gilby quiet, and then we'll be fine.
Gav Jones on Twitter, before we do leave in just a few moments' time, says there's no better medicine than two very winnable home games under the lights. Score prediction, I'm going to go for a 3-0 win tomorrow for Pompey. Thank you to Gav Jones on Twitter for getting involved. A few more score predictions coming into us now. Then Stephen Jerome going for a 3-1 Pompey win. We've got some on Facebook as well. Dennis James, I think, is going for a draw tomorrow. Alan Snelling, 4-0 Pompey. He says Geraldine Parmenter goes for 3-0. Dickie Murrell is going for a 1-0 Pompey win. Becky Bennett says 4-0. Anthony Lee says 2-0 Pompey. And Andy Kitchener says 3-1 to the Blues. Right, those were the thoughts of you back home. But what about the Sam Sim studio? We'll kick off with Mr. Stone.
I'm going to go 2-0, Marquis and Curtis to score.
2-0, John Marquis, Ronan Curtis, says Sam Stone. What about Sam Macy?
I'll go 3-0, Pompey. I think Curtis to score first.
2-0 and 3-0. Sams, thank you very much. I'm going to be different. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to the Blues and 3 points for the Blues. Okay, Sam Stone, Sam Macy, thank you both so much for joining me on the show. Wishing you both safe journeys home in this horrible blustery weather. But if you're all cooped up in the warm and dry back home, then fear not, because we've got more great shows coming your way here on Express FM tonight and through the week too. This evening, the 80s show returns from 8 o'clock. Kevin Stokes takes control for 2 hours of hits from the 90s and 80s in the absence of Jeff and Adrian. He'll be back with the Soft Rock Show in a few weeks' time. Mason Jordan is back this week and with a bang too. He'll be waking you up every weekday morning from 6 to bring you the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He has great songs, special guests, travel, sport and weather updates, as well as the Express Rewind through till 10 a.m. every morning, which also means that Robbie James returns to his usual 3 p.m. slot. The football continues tomorrow evening. Matches are coming thick and fast for Pompey now. And next up for Kenny Jackett's side are the NK Dons, who travel down to PO4 for the rearranged League One fixture. I'll be on hand live from Fratton Park alongside Liam and Ryan to bring you full coverage of the game and to find out whether or not the Blues can bounce back from Saturday's defeat with a win. Pompey Live is back from 7 p.m. and they also host Rochdale on Friday evening. That one you can hear us again from 7 before the fifth round of the FA Cup next Monday, also from 7 here on Express FM. Due to these games, the next football hour doesn't take place until next Tuesday from 6 o'clock.